Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Tesvav. We are on Yudal Amud Beis. We're starting with the Gemara today. We read the entire Mishnah. That is the entire Mishnah for the second parak of Shavuos. Just like in the first parak of Shavuos, all the Mishnahs were front-loaded. So too in the second parak as well, the Mishnahs are front-loaded. Now that we've gone through all the Mishnahs, so we're going to start with the Gemara explaining the Mishnah. Now in the Mishnah, we are talking about Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. As I explained yesterday, but we're discussing it in much greater detail. Meaning because this parak now is going to be dedicated to the topic of specifically, literally, the topic of being defiling the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Mishnah told us that in order to do so, so one needs the Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Sof. And there are how many cases that one can come up with? So in the Mishnah, we described really four separate cases in the Mishnah. Because you can have a halama, you can forget about the fact that you're tameh, and having that halama and forgetting while you're during the halama, while you are now unaware that you're tameh, so you can either go into the Beis HaMikdash or you can eat a karban. Conversely, you remembered you were tameh and you could have forgotten this is the area of the Beis HaMikdash, or while you're remembering you were tameh, you forgot that this is a karban. In any one of these four instances with the Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Sof, so you're going to now be chayev. And what are you going to be chayev? You'll be chayev a carbon, as opposed to a regular carbon chata. So you're now going to bring a carbon olav yored, as we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. A special carbon that's going to be based on your financial situation. If you're rich, a carbon, or a regular animal carbon. You're poor, a pair of birds. And if you're dali dalos, and if you're extraordinarily poor, so you're going to be bringing a mincha offering. In any event, the Mishnah opened up the same way the Mishnah did in the first parak, which is that there are two cases which are really four cases. And so we launch right into the Gemara today. We start in Yudal Amud Beis. And the Gemara over here is worried about the accounting of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Papa, La Abaye, Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim Shein Sheish Havyan. So why would the Mishnah say that there are two which are four? There are really two which are six. Yediyas Atumah Tchila V'Sof, Yediyas HaKadosh Tchila V'Sof, Yediyas Mikdash Tchila V'Sof. Let's consider that what are the six different possibilities? There are really, when I say six, really it's three. What are the three different possibilities? Either you knew you were Tameh, lapsed into an awareness of your Tumah, and then either God went into the base of Mikdash or eat Karban, and then remembered you were Tameh. Or you remembered you were Tameh, but lapsed into an awareness that this is the base of Mikdash, and then once again had a Yediyah. Or you knew you were tameh, lapsed into unawareness, and then you ate karban while you were, meaning you lapsed into unawareness that this is a karban, and then you had a yediyah. So really, there are three different cases with the yediyah in the front end and the back end. So that's three cases times two yediyahs. That's six yediyahs altogether. Why is the Mishnah only describing four yediyahs? To which the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, well, really, if you want better accounting, it's really eight cases. Because when you lapse into that unawareness that you're tameh, so under those circumstances, really two things could happen. One of two things could happen. Either while forgotten that you were tameh, you could have gone into the Beis HaMikdash, or while forgotten you were tameh, you could have eaten a karban. So now there really are four cases, and of those four cases, with the Yediyah B'Tchila and B'Sof, there are really eight Yediyahs altogether. Da'a ika tumas tekosh v'tumas tamikdash. So Tchila V'Sof. So the Gemara says, halokasha, shem tuma achasi. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what, we don't have to broaden out to eight, but I'm still going to stay at six. Because even though you lapsed into Tumah and two things could have happened, that's true, but really the Iker, in other words there, the main halama is the fact that you forgot you were Tumah. Anyway, Mikomakom Shi Savayan, so there are six cases. And again, it's still problematic because our Mishnah describes how there are only a maximum of four cases. So I'm Rav Papa Lolam Tam Nehavyan. So Rav Papa says, look, there are eight cases. Let's go back to what you didn't like just a moment ago. There really are a total of eight cases. Two cases where, while tamei, either you went to the Beis Mikdash or you ate karban, and then another halama is you knew you were tamei but you forgot this was the Beis Mikdash, or you knew you were tamei and you ate karban. So really there are four cases in total, and of course with every one of the cases there's a yediyah b'tchila and yediyah b'sof. So I'm with you, there really are eight yediyahs. So why would the Mishnah say there are only four yediyahs? Arba kamaisa dola maisa lelide karban lo kachashiv. Arba basraisa dola maisa lelide karban kachashiv. So, at least in the first approach of the Gemara, look, we're going to say like this. This is Rav Papa's argument. Of course there are eight cases in total. And the Mishnah, when the Mishnah is counting yediyahs, the Mishnah is not counting yediyahs on both sides of the halama. Not, in other words, for every halama, there's a yediyah b'tchila and a yediyah b'sof. That's true. As far as the Mishnah, and it's counting, the Mishnah is really interested in counting the Yediya Basraisa, the Yediya after the Halama. And of course, because you're not going to be Chayv a carbon Olav Yared until you have the Yediya Basraisa. So everything up until the Yediya Basraisa is setting you up, but the Chayv carbon only comes to the Yediya Basraisa, and that's why the Mishnah is only counting the Yediya Basraisa. Okay, that's one possibility. Igadarma, the Gemara says, or same question, similar answer, but instead of focusing on the second Yediyah, on the post-Halama Yediyah, we're going to be focusing on the pre-Halama Yediyah. So, again, there are eight Yediyahs in total. Arba kamaisa delesnu b'chol ha-Torah kula kachashiv. Arba basraisa delesnu b'chol ha-Torah kula lo kachashiv. And when the Mishnah talks about four Yediyahs, focusing on which four? The pre-Halama Yediyahs. Why? Because they are unique. As Rashi points out over here, b'chol ha-Torah kula, in other words, if I ate chalev, rachman al-Tzlan, if I ate chalev, so even if I never knew that eating chalev was asr, and I never knew that this was chalev, in other words, with no yediyah on the front end, a person eats chalev, obviously he's in a state of shogeg, meaning he had no idea. Not only did he have no idea, he never had an idea. He never knew it. And then afterwards, someone came over to says, you know, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat chalev, and you just ate chalev. And under those circumstances, so even though there was no yediyah on the front end, you're chayav a karban chatas. So in general, when it comes to carbon chatas, you don't need a yediyah b'tchila, all you need is a yediyah b'sof. However, when it comes to the carbon olav yared, specifically for tumas mikdash v'kadashav, so there's a chiddush haTorah that you need a yediyah b'tchila. Now, not everyone agrees to that, but that doesn't matter. Meaning, we're working with those who hold that you need a yediyah b'tchila. For those who say you need a yediyah b'tchila, that is a chiddush atzum. It's a tremendous chiddush in the world of carbonos, in the world of carbon chatas. So that's why when the Mishnah is focusing on four yediyos, meaning there are four cases, and of course you need yediya b'tchila b'sof, but as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is focusing on the yediya b'tchila because that's novel. You don't have that by other areas of carbon chatas. By Rav Papa. And so the Gemara now is going to be discussing a number of scenarios where basically we're going to ask, is that considered a yediya b'tchila? Right. Now we already discussed back in the first parak that the yediya b'tchila has a very low threshold. Do you remember? We talked about this earlier on in the Masechta. That according to Rebbe, the Gemara quoted it, B'shem Rebbe, right? As long as you learned it at one point in your life, meaning could have been grade school, could have been really young, but as long as you learned it, that's considered a yediya. So the Gemara now wonders what also is going to follow in this very low threshold of yediyah b'tchila. So Rav Papa asked the following question, Nama mimena luchas tumah mahu. So the Gemara says, let's say you forgot about the halachas of tumah. So the Gemara says, let's be clear. What are we talking about? Hey chidami, ilema delo yadi sheretz tameh itzfardea tameh. So the Gemara says, well, did you forget which kind of creature is going to be a source of tumah? The Torah identifies eight different creatures, crawling creatures, that are going to be metame, or in other words, once the animal dies, so the carcass is an avatama, right? The shemona shiratzim, and it's only the shemona shiratzim. It's not any of the animals that crawl on the ground. So maybe what this person forgot was, oh, was it a sheretz that's metame, or was it tzvardea? Tzvardea, of course, dead frog, certainly disgusting to touch, but not a source of tuma. Sheretz, on the other hand, disgusting to touch and a source of tumah. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what the person forgot, but the Gemara says, Zil Karibei Ravu. The Gemara says, okay, but you ask a boy in yeshiva, and he'll tell you. And I'm gonna, you know, the quip I'm gonna give, because I always give it is, I don't know if that's true nowadays, but at least, at a point in time that was true. So in other words, this is something that, again, going back to what we discussed earlier in the Masechta, he probably learned it, and even though he forgot it, but that's considered a yediyah. So that is considered a yediyah b'tchila. So la'olam diyada b'tumah sheretz u'kagon. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's not our question. Our question is, he knows about yediyah tumah, because again, everybody learned about yediyah tumah. So, but the naga b'chadasha. The Gemara says, but it wasn't the full carcass of the animal that he touched, it was only just a small portion of the carcass that he touched. In fact, it was so small, it was just the size of an adasha, a lentil bean. Avalo yada k'hadasha yimatame ilamatame. And what he never knew is that this small amount of sheretz is going to be matame. Now, halach l'moshe m'Sinai, that you don't need to touch the full sheretz, you only need to touch the size of a lentil. And he never knew that. And is that considered now yediyah b'tchila? So my, kevin diyada de matame sheretz ba'olam yediyah hi, o delma kevin de chadash lo yada, imatame lo matame halamahi. So the Gemara says, now, does this qualify as a yediyah? He knew that the sheretz is a source of tumah, and he knew touching the sheretz was a source of tumah. But this small amount of sheretz, so can he now argue, I never knew that. I never learned that. That's detailed information. I never knew it. So Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. We don't know, basically, if that's considered a yediyah b'tchila, if his argument is, I never knew that. I never learned that. By Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah asks a similar question. So you grew up your life in the diaspora and you've never been to Eretz Yisrael and you don't know the geography, the topography of Eretz Yisrael. Fine. V'nela mimenu makom mikdash. And then while you're talking, you go into the makom mikdash. But can you make the argument, well, listen, I never knew. So in other words, I never knew where the mikdash was. Ma'wa liba daman. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's be clear about this question. So the Gemara says, look, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who does require yediyah b'tchila, but halo mechayev al halo mikdash. You see, Rabbi Akiva does not mechayev a person on halo mikdash. We spent a lot of time in the first parak talking about the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is only mechayev on halam tuma, not on halo mikdash. According to Rabbi Akiva, there are not four cases, there are only two cases. But anyway, so we're not holding like Rabbi, if we're holding like Rabbi Akiva, who requires the yediyah b'tchila, but the problem, of course, is that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no such case of a carbon olive yorid for halam mikdash. And I aliba de Rabbi Yishmael, and the Gemara says, okay, so let's flip over to the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. The mechayev al halam mikdash. He is mechayev a person for halam mikdash. But then the Gemara says, but then we back into another problem. Halo by yediyah b'tchila, because he doesn't subscribe to this idea that you need a yediyah b'tchila. Meaning, he's of the opinion that like any other carbon chatzos, you only need a yediyah b'sof. Rabbi Yishmael says the same thing is true regarding tumas mikdash, v'kadashav, you only need a yediyah b'sof. So basically now, although this is a good question to Rabbi Yirmiyah, but it doesn't subscribe to any Tana exclusively. So the Gemara says, Lotzricha liba de Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you're right. Meaning, this question doesn't work exclusively within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, nor exclusively within the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. You're right. However, the Gemara says, but there is a Tana, notably Rebbe, who subscribes to both of these viewpoints. Debay yediyah b'tchila mechayev al halam mikdash. Rebbe actually subscribes to both of these opinions. That A, there is a carbon olive yared for halam mikdash, having forgotten about the base of mikdash, and Rebbe also subscribes to the idea that you need a yediyah b'tchila. Again, we spent a lot of time in the first parak establishing that this is the shita of Rebbe. Va'amar yediyah beis rabushma yediyah. Also, Gemara says, I'll throw in one more reminder, and that is that according to Rebbe, the threshold of yediyah is really low. Yediyah just simply means that you learned this at one point in time. So now, my kevin diad dika mikdash ba'olam yediyah he. So the Gemara says now, you learned that there's a base on mikdash. You grew up in the diaspora. You have no idea where it is, but you know it exists. Is that considered a yediyah? Or the Gemara says maybe no. Maybe by virtue of the fact that you grew up in the diaspora, you never visited Yerushalayim, you have no idea what the base of mikdash neither looks like nor geographically where it is. Can we say that that is a halama? Meaning that that is not considered yediyah b'tchila teku. And once again, the Gemara leaves this question of Rabbi Yirmiyah unresolved. Okay. Echa nichlas la'azar. We're on the very bottom of Yudalam and Beis, and with the next portion of the Gemara, which we're going to be spending the rest of today discussing, we're going to be talking about annexation. I made the point yesterday already, but let me just reiterate. In terms of annexation, so when we're annexing, we could be annexing a number of things. We could be expanding the walls of Yerushalayim so that the walls of Yerushalayim are covering a larger area, larger geographic area, and that would now allow for your Maaser Sheni, your Kachim Kalim, like Shlamim and Karben Toda, to be eaten within a more expansive area. Okay. Or we could be expanding the Azara. The truth of the matter is we could also be expanding the Har HaBayis area as well. That's not going to be our discussion for today. I assume the Har HaBayis area could be expanded as well. Although, that's not going to be part of our discussion for today. The Gemara is not going to address that kind of expansion. We can expand also the Azara as well. Now, we'll expand the Azara for purposes of having more courtyard room. In the Azara, you're limited to eating your kachikachim, meaning your chatas, your mincha, have to be eaten within the Azara. Animals can only be shechted, karbanos, I should say better. Karbanos can only be shechted within the Azara. So the Azara area also could be expanded as well. In terms of an expansion of the Azara and Yerushalayim, So there's a procedure. The Mishnah gave us the real basic information regarding the procedure of expansion. And so now what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf is going in greater detail in terms of exactly what is the process of expanding the area of Yerushalayim, the area of the Azara. Okay. Minahan Emili. Just a quick reminder, what we saw back in yesterday's Mishnah. I mean, it was just yesterday we did this, but Echad HaNichnas LaAzara VeEchad HaNichnas LaSosefes HaAzara. You go into the Azara, you go into the annex portion of the Azara. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah from yesterday. Ein Mosifin Al Ha'ir VeAl HaZaros Ela B'Melech V'Navi V'Urim V'Tumim V'Sanhedrin Shel Shivan VeEchad. So in terms of who needs to be there at the annexation process, at the ceremony, so there needs to be a king, a navi, the Urim V'Tumim, that is the Shem Hashem that is placed in the fold of the Choshen, the Sanhedrin Shel Shivan VeEchad, the great Sanhedrin, 71, and Shtei Todos. We'll be more descriptive about what the Shtei Todos are in the course of today's daf. Shir, we're going to be saying Parakim of Tehillim, and Beis Mahalchin. Now, Beis Din is going to be walking on the front of this procession, Shtei Todos Achareihem, followed immediately by the two carbon todas, and V'chol Yisrael Achareihem, and the Jewish people are going to be following them. And then one more detail that we got in the Mishnah regarding this procession on the top of Yudal Med Beis, Apnimis Nechelas V'chitzona Nisrefes. As the two todas are now going around the perimeter of the new and next area, so the inner toda will be eaten, the outer one will be burnt. As if to say the inner one is now going to be within the perimeter and the outer one is going to be outside the perimeter. More about that coming up later this morning. And if you don't do, and just read one more line of the Mishnah, v'chol shelo na'aseh b'chol elo ha'nichnas l'sham ein chayav aleha. Meaning, and if you don't do this process the way we just described with the details in which we just described, so the annexed area does not have the full status of whatever we're trying to annex. And so if you go into that area, you're not going to be subject to the penalty of going into the Azara while being tummy, because it's not properly annexed. We are on the Gemara on the very bottom of Yudal Amid Beis, and now more details regarding everything we just described. Minahan Emili. First question of the Gemara is a really simple one. Source. Like, where does this come from? Meaning, where are these details coming from? So, I'm Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, I'm a Krab. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Truma. The Torah says the first part of the pasuk we're familiar with. Asili mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. The Gemara doesn't quote that part of the pasuk, but that's the part we all know. And then kechol asher ani mar'eh osecha eis tavnis hamishkan ve'eis tavnis kol kelav. And then the pasuk ends on the top of Tezvav Amad Aleph v'chein ta'asu. And now that v'chein tasu is an extra. That's how Rashi describes it. It's a kray yisera. And now the Gemara is darshaning with one word, lidaros, meaning the way that it was done in the Mishkan is the way that it's going to be done for future generations as well. Rashi points out over here on the very top of Tezvav Amanav, the top Rashi. So lemidrash lidaros of Yimei Moshe duhu melech v'navi. So obviously by the Mishkan we had Moshe. Moshe qualifies as both the melech and the navi. The Echav Kohen Gadol. Aaron was with him. That obviously qualifies as a Kohen Gadol. Urim V'Tumim V'Shivim Zekenim. And you had the Urim V'Tumim and you had the Shivim Zekenim. So the way that it was done by the Mishkan, so that's the way it's going to be done for all generations. Okay, so it's a simple argument of the Gemara, which is the Mishkan will set forth the prototype of how any type and form of annexation is going to be done. To which the Gemara says, Mesiv Rava, Rava says, wait one second. It's not always true. For example, when making the kelim in the Mishkan by Moshe, Aaron, Bezalel, etc., so how was it inaugurated? So it was inaugurated through Meshicha, meaning that the Shemna Mishcha, the inaugurating oil that was put together and applied, and that was gave the kli, the kelim of the Mishkan, its sanctity. From that point going forward, service, meaning the first time that you use it, creates the chinuch, creates the inauguration of these kelim. There's a lot of Hanukkah reference in today's daf. It's going to be quite remarkable, just as the first day of Hanukkah. It's going to be quite remarkable how many Hanukkah references we have in today's daf. Here is one. The one coming up later, it's just amazing. It's, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu you know, sometimes gives us like a clear gilui in terms of how the daf and the days coordinate. But anyway, I'll show you later. So mikan ve'elech avodas ha'mechan chasan. So the chinuch, so the inauguration of the kelim are done through service. So v'yamai v'neim v'chein tasu l'doros. The question of the Gemara, very obvious. Once we've just established that, the Mishkan sets the model of how things are done from that point going forward. V'chein tasu tells us that l'doros, this is the way it's always done. So the Gemara says, basically, I don't understand. Rava says, I don't understand. So now what do we have? In terms of how do you inaugurate kelim? Well, by the Mishkan, it's through the oil. From that point going forward, it's service. Well, what do you mean? Shouldn't it be through the oil? Shani Hasam, Damakrav, V'yim Shechem, V'yikadesh Osam. So the Gemara says, no, in terms of the Chinuch HaKelim, so the Torah says specifically it's for that generation, and only for that generation, by using the word Osam. Osam is a mute. So the Gemara says, Osam b'mashicha v'lo l'doros b'mashicha. So only those Kelim in the Mishkan need Mashicha b'shem na'mishcha, but no future Kelim for future generations. Ema, the Gemara says, well, why don't we suggest Osam b'mashicha l'doros, Osam b'mashicha, those Kelim are going to be done with Mashicha, and then l'doros, and then for future generations, Osam b'mashicha, o be'avoda. Either way. In other words, either I can anoint it with oil, with the Shemana Mishcha, or Avoda. So Amar Papa Amakra Asher Shasu Bam Bakodesh. Talan Hakasav Bisheris. The Gemara says, no, Rapapa says, look, the Torah says that for future generations, the Torah says very clearly, Sheris, service. So that the Kalim are only going to be inaugurated in the future, after the Mishkan, through service, and exclusively through service. So the Gemara says, sorry, let me read that better. Once I have the drasha of Asher Yishasu, so now the miut of Osam seems to be unnecessary. The Gemara says, it's not. Yeah. I might have thought that for the Mishkan, I only need Mashiach in order to inaugurate it, in order to give it its Kedushas Kli Sharef. And then from that point going forward, maybe I need two things. Maybe I need Mashicha and I need Avoda. Daha kasa v'chein ta'asu. So miyat rachmana osam, osam b'mashicha v'lo dos b'mashicha. And so what the miyat is coming to accomplish is the following. That when for that first generation in the Mishkan, for the first set of kelim in the Mishkan, Shem and Amishcha is what is consecrating them, inaugurating them. And from that point going forward, it is only going to be Sheris, which is going to create the inauguration. Shtei Todos. We're now going through the procession of annexation, and what we're doing now is we're walking around Yerushalayim with the Shtei Todos. Now, let's be clear about what the Gemara is going to be confused by. Okay? In other words, when we talk about a Karban Todah is really composite of a number of things. A Karban Todah first involves an animal, meaning, let's start off like this. First, it's a Shlamim. Right? So as a Karban Shlamim, so that means that it's going to be eaten within Chomas Yerushalayim. You can eat it anywhere within the perimeter of the walls of Yerushalayim. As a Shlamim, it is a little bit strange because a normal Shlamim, no, it's an individual Karban. As a Karban Shlamim, it's a little bit strange in that normal Shlamim are given 2 days to be eaten, meaning the day that it's shechted, the night following, and the next day. And then the second night, it's already Nosar. The Karban Todah is a little bit strange in this regard because the Karban Todah is only given 1 day and the following night. Okay, so in that regard, it's a little bit different, but it's a Karban Shlamim. Now, the Karban Todah is also composite of, one, it's an animal. Say it's one of the behemoths that are offered as a Karban. And then it is complemented with loaves of bread. Now, whenever I say bread as it relates to the Beis HaMikdash, most of the time we're talking about matzah. Meaning that there only are only a few exceptions, and actually today we're going to talk about both exceptions, but there are only a couple of exceptions of menachos, of flour offerings that are going to be allowed to be made chametz. The rest of them are all going to be matzah, even the lechem apanim, right, which we call lechem. So we're kind of used to the idea that it's bread. It's not. It's matzah. Meaning the lechem apanim that's made weekly in the Beis HaMikdash. It's made on Friday, put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. That's matzah. Almost all menachos are matzah with two exceptions. We're going to go over both of them today, in today's daf. The complementary bread that comes along with the Karban Todah is made up of 40 loaves of bread. Four different types of bread. Three of them are matzah, and one of them is chametz. So that means to say that 30 loaves of the lachme todah are going to be made matzah, 10 loaves of the lachme todah are going to be made chametz. So this is our first exception to the rule, the second one coming up later this morning. So 10 of the 40 are going to be made chametz. So now, all the Mishnah told us is that as we're doing our procession around for the annexation of Yerushalayim, we're going around with todah. Which part of the todah? We're talking about the animal, we're talking about the loaves. If we're talking about the loaves, which loaves are we talking about? So those are the kinds of details that need to be ironed out, which we're going to do right now. My guess is I don't know. That has not, the Gemara doesn't mention it, so I'd only guess, and I wouldn't guess. Shtei todos. So sometimes I do guess, but no, I'm not guessing. Okay, so the shtei todos. Tana shtei todos amru b'lachman v'lo b'vsaran. So okay, so the first detail now that's getting ironed out is that it's the bread. I mean, and again, I say bread over here right now. I'm saying it in the ambiguous form of one of the breads. But the Gemara actually is going to be clear about which one. So minan imili amar of chista amakra ve'amidah shtei todos gedolos v'salochos liyamin me'alachoma. So here now, in describing the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara quotes from Sefer Nehemiah, and here it actually gives a description of shtei todos gedolos. Now the pasuk itself doesn't say which part of the todah, but the pasuk does give us a clue in that it uses the word gadol. So my gedolos ilay mamimin gadol mamish. So the Gemara says, well, what does gadol mean? It's a really big animal. So the Gemara says, really big animal, name of parim. Well, if that's what the Navi wanted to communicate to us, the Navi would have said parim. Ela gedolos biminan. Oh, so the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. I know what the pasuk means. It means that whichever type of animal was brought, meaning we don't know, but whatever type was brought, it was the largest of that animal. The Gemara says, Mika chashivusa kamishmaya. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares that when we bring a carbon, it's really, really plump or it's really thin? The carbon's not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Vatanya, Nemra ba'olas behema isher reich nicholach, ba'olas ha'of isher reich nicholach, b'mincha isher reich nicholach. The Mishnah here in Menachos, the Gemara's quoting, says that as far as every one of the carbonates that are offered, the really large ones, the medium ones, the birds, the small one, meaning the mincha, it always ends off by saying, Isha Reach Nichalach. It's pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Malamish, Echad Amar Be'Echad Amamid V'Vashi, Chavnes Libo Laviv Shem HaShemayim. Doesn't matter if you bring a big carbon, doesn't matter if you bring a small carbon, as long as your kavana is to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Hashem wants. So, size does not matter. So, when the Navi is describing how they went around with the toad, that it was Gedolos, so it has nothing to do with the size of the animal. Ela gedola shebetoda. So within the carbon toda, now we're looking for the largest ticket item. What's the largest ticket item? Umayni uchametz. Oh, so it's the loaves of the carbon toda, and specifically the chametz loaves. Did nana toda aisabam in chametz shayim yushamish and sheish medbarios shein shtei efos va'efa shol shayin esrim isaron asar lachametz va'asar lamatzah. I'm not going to spend time right now going through the entire conversion table that the Gemara just went through. Okay, here's what we need to know. It is a total of 20 esronim. Okay, that last number for us and our purposes right now is the most important number. There are 20 esronim of flour. Nisaron is just simply a volume. There are 20 esronim of flour used for every carbon todah. Of those 20 esronim, we're going to be making 40 loaves of bread. But 10 esronim, meaning half the actual flour content, is going to be applied towards the chametz loaves. So 10 of those loaves are made up of 50% of the flour content, and the other 10 esronim are going to be made up to use the other 30 loaves of the matzah portion of the carbon todah. So now, you don't need a great imagination. You can easily imagine now that the chametz loaves are going to be significantly larger than the other 30 loaves. 10 of those loaves are made of half the flour content, and on top of that, it's also allowed to rise, so it's easy now to imagine they're going to be the largest. So now, that clue tells us that which part of the carbon todah now is going to be circumscribing the new and next portion? It's going to be, specifically, the chametz loaves of the carbon todah, which are going to be taken around. I don't know if I finished reading it. Let me just read this inside. Okay. And three different types of matzah loaves are made, 10 each, 30 in total. Okay. One Rashi I'd like to go over, I'll say it over outside, but it's really interesting. Okay, so now we have this picture of when we're annexing the walls of Yerushalayim, meaning that we're going to create a larger area, a larger perimeter. So we're actually going to, I mean, it goes without saying, but we're going to construct actually new walls, meaning because we're covering a larger area. And then we're going to be going around. Interesting. We're going to be going around the interior of the walls, or we're going to go around the exterior of the walls. Rashi over here clearly states, at least on this Amud, Rashi clearly states that here's what we're going to do. We're going to take, what do we have for our procession? We have the Sanhedrin, we have the king, we have the Navi, we have the Kohen Gadol, we have the Sanhedrin, and we have the Shtei Todos. Rashi says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go outside the walls, we're going to make a right turn, and if I'm reading Rashi correctly, so now we're going in clockwise motion around the exterior perimeter of the new walls. So it is interesting because now the carbon totas are actually taken outside the walls. I'm not sure if I'm right about this next point, but it certainly sounds like from Rashi that the place that's being Mekudash is not just from the walls and the interior, but perhaps, and I'm saying this with caution, perhaps even a little bit even beyond the walls as well, as the totas are now going even around the exterior of the wall. I'm not sure about that last point I just made, but certainly everything I just described is in Rashi on the Amud. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Ein Azar Miskadesh Asela B'Shayarei Mincha. Okay, now we're going to be talking about annexing the Azara. Now remember, the Azara now is interior, meaning Yerushalayim obviously is the most exterior perimeter. Interior to that is the Har HaBayis, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf. The Gemara here is not describing the Har HaBayis area and the annexation of the Har HaBayis area. I think, now I'm guessing, I think the Har HaBayis area can also be annexed, although again, no mention of that in the daf today. But now we're talking about enlarging the Azara area. Now the Azara area, as I mentioned earlier this morning, is the area in which we're going to be eating Kachi Kachim. And I say we, I don't really mean we. I mean only Zichri Kahuna. The male Kohanim are going to be eating the Chatas and the Mincha in the Azara. So now we're going to be talking about annexing the area of the Azara, and what are we going to use? So it's going to be very intuitive. In that, we're going to use something that can only be eaten in the Azara. So what is going to be used to go around the new and next area of the Azara? Carbon Mincha. Specifically, the Shayari Mincha. From every Mincha offering, so you have the Kamitz, the fistful that is offered up onto the Mizbeach, and then the rest of it is the Shayarim, which are eaten by the Zirche Kuhuna in the Azara. So when creating this new perimeter, we're going to go around with the Shayari Mincha. The Gemara says it. Amar Rabbi Barcha, Ma'in Azar Miskadeshes, Ela B'Shayari Mincha. Ma'itamik Yerushalayim. Ma'yushalayim Davar Necha Ba Mikacha, Afazara Davar Necha Ba Mikacha. So the Gemara makes now a very cogent argument. Just like for Yerushalayim, we're going to go around the new area of Yerushalayim using something that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, so too, we're going to do the same thing for the Azara. We're going to go around the new area of the Azara with something can be eaten in the Azara. Wait just 1 second, let me just finish the thread. Atulach metoda ba'azara, milamat achle. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You know the lach metoda can be eaten in the Azara. So the Gemara says, that's true. So the Gemara says, we're just fine-tuning the point. Ela ki Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim davar nechaba v'yotzi mimenu nifsal. Af Azara davar nechaba v'yotzi mimenu nifsal. So the Gemara says, okay, just fine-tuning. We are going to circumscribe the area with something where if I take it outside, that becomes puzzled through the psul of Yotze. So for Yerushalayim, that's the carbon toda. For the Azara, it's the Mincha, Shayar Mincha. Yes?
If you're already sanctifying the outer room of the city, so everything within it is already sanctified, why is there a need to sanctify the inside?
Because the Azara is an area where you can't eat...
Is it not included in that perimeter?
No, because it has more Kedusha. The Azara is more Kedusha than that of Yerushalayim. So in other words, when we're annexing the Azara, we're annexing that extra Kedusha that the Azara has. Okay. So, Ima lahalan chametz afkan chametz. So the Gemara says, well, if we're looking for something similar, so why not? In other words, when we are going around the Yerushalayim annexation, we're using a chametz type of mincha, notably the 10 loaves of the carbon toda, which we described earlier. So why not use chametz to go around the new next area of the Azara, to which the Gemara says, "What? What's chametz that's a mincha? Avkan chametz v'tizra mincha's chametz meika. The Gemara says, but there's no such thing. Now I know I said it in the extreme. I said it as an absolute. It's almost absolutely true. All the menachos are made of matzah. In fact, when we get to menachos, you're going to see a mishnah that looks just like that. But there is one notable exception. Before we get to the one notable exception, the Gemara is still going to try to make a mincha into chametz. So the Gemara says, well, let's do the following. Let's take the chametz of the mincha, offer it on the mizbeach, and not allow that to become chametz. And the Torah says very clearly, Rashi over here quotes the pasuk, kol sa'or v'chol devash lo saktiru. You can't take something that was fermented, meaning turned into chametz, and offer that on the mizbeach. So for the chametz, okay, fine. The chametz will go onto the mizbeach unleavened. But then the rest of the mincha, why don't we just simply allow it to leaven, and then use that leaven portion of the shayari mincha as our you know, ring around the new azara. But the Gemara just simply notes that the iser of not allowing a mincha to become chametz is going both on the chametz and it's going on the shirayim as well. So therefore, that's not a possibility. So,
are they anyone baking it to make chametz? How would they make it chametz?
In other words, they would not bake it. They would put it in the kli shareis, and the chametz will go on to the mizbeach, and then the rest of it, they'll just simply wait, let it ferment, and then. Okay, that was the suggestion. So alam lo efshar mekash b'shtei alechem be'atzeres. So now we get to the others, our second exception for today, and that is the shtei alechem that's offered on Shavuos. On the yontif of Shavuos. Okay, I know. We are not learning about Shavuos in Masechta Shavuos, meaning it's about oaths. But today, in today's daf, we are learning about the yontif of Shavuos in that, on the yontif of Shavuos, is the other notable exception in which we're going to be offering a leavened mincha. And this is a mincha, meaning it's not the carbon toda, which is a shlamim. This is a mincha, kadshei kadashim, offered on the mizbech only to be eaten within the azara. So now, why not be mekadosh the new and next portion on Shavuos when I'm offering the shtei alechem? Just as an interesting note, I don't know a lot about mazalos, as I'm sure you know, but the mazal of the mazal of the month of Sivan is the twins, Gemini. Am I right? Okay, is the twins. So in other words, we look at every month with a mazal, right? So the mazal of Sivan is twins, and you'll notice that everything in Shavuos, or thematically Shavuos, is all about twins. The shtei alechem, the shtei kvasim that are offered on Shavuos, the shtei luchos that are brought down on Shavuos. Meaning it's a big theme, right? Okay, and you can do that with every one of the months. Meaning that the mazal of the month obviously is thematically connected to the month. Yeah, the zugos, right? The whole discussion of the zugos over there. Zugos are not good. Right. Okay, yep, I'm with you. I remember the Gemara too. Okay, so the shtei alechem that's offered on Shavuos. So the Gemara says now that's made up of chametz, and so now why not? To which the Gemara basically says logistically impossible, meaning because consider what we're doing. We're trying to annex new construction on Yontif. Okay, you already probably figured out that's going to be a logistic impossibility. And the Gemara just works out every permutation of how it could be possible, but really impossible. So the Gemara says, Alama lo efshar, demikash b'shtei alechem b'atzeres mishum de lo efshar. Hey chinavi, the Gemara says, well, let's try this. Nivnai me'esmol, let's build a new construction on Erev Yontif. V'nikta shei me'etmol, shtei halechem. And let's consecrate the shtei alechem the day before Shavuos. The Gemara says, you can't do that. B'shchitus kvasim hu dekache. So as we're going to learn together in Maseches Menachos, the shtei alechem only are imbued with Kedusha through the shechting of the shtei kvasim on Shavuos. So it's not going to work. So nivnai me'asmon v'nikta shei ha'idna. So the Gemara says, well, okay. So why don't we build the new construction on Erev Yontif? And I don't, of course, I don't mean literally on Erev Yontif, but finish the new construction right up until Erev Yontif, and then the next day, meaning on Shavuos, when we have the Shtei Lechem, and it was properly Mukdash, now I'll just simply use it to run around the new next area. The Gemara says that's also not going to work because Be'in and Kiddush B'Shas HaBinyan. So the Gemara says that the Kiddush and the Binyan have to coordinate to the same day. Now the Gemara doesn't give a source for this, and Rashi doesn't say it also, but the Rishonim talk about where possible sources is for this halacha, but the Gemara says it. In other words, the Kiddush and the Binyan have to be concurrent. So the Gemara says, Nivne b'yamtav v'nikdashe b'yamtav. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we build the new and next part on Yantav, and that way the Kiddush and the Binyan can occur on the same day. You probably will guess why the Gemara objects to this. Ein Binyan mikdash doche yamtav. So the Gemara says, no, because the building of the base of Mikdash is not going to override Yantav. Rashi over here quotes the Drasha. The Drasha that Rashi quotes really specific to Shabbos, but Shabbos and Yantav in this regard are going to be the same. You can't build. The building of the base of Mikdash is not going to be Doche Yantav. Rashi quotes from the beginning of the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about everything overriding something else. Not everything. Some things being able to override other things. Ese Doche Lo Sase. That's the beginning of the Gemara in Yevamos over there. So one of the things the Gemara rejects is that you can't build the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos or on Yom Tov.
Exactly.
The Gemara over there, that's the Gemara in Yevamos. Okay, good. So Nishpeke Labasar Hachi, V'nivne, V'nikdashe. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we just simply leave over the Shtei Alechem for Motzei Yom Tov, meaning the next day, whatever day is after Yom Tov. And then, if Salele Belina, but the Gemara says, of course, that's not going to work because the Shtei Alechem were Nikdash on Yantav itself, and then the next day it's Pasul through Lina. So, Lina, no, sorry, in this regard, synonymous terms. Nivne Mimala Yuma V'Nishari Beporta Da'ad Dekarash Yuma La'alta Nigmer V'Nikdashay. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we build most of it, 99%, made up statistic. Why don't we build 99% of it up to Erev Yantav? Now, on Yantav itself, we're going to offer the Shtei Alechem. Let's leave it over till Motzei Yantav, meaning the night after Shavuos. The Shtei Alechem do not become pasul until the next morning. Meaning the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is given one day and one night to be consumed. So now, literally, on Motzei Yantav, we have now a Shtei Alechem which is not pasul yet, still good. And we are going to then complete that last little bit of the Beis HaMikdash, and now it would make for a very nice Motzei Yantav. To which the Gemara says, "Ein binyan beis hamikdash b'layla." So another flag on the play. The Gemara says, "You don't build the beis hamikdash at night." Damar Abayi minayin she'ein binyan beis hamikdash b'layla shenemar over yom akimas hamishkan v'yom akima b'layla emakimo hilchach lo efshar. The Gemara just simply says, "It is impossible. You don't build the beis hamikdash at night." Okay. Tana Rabbanu Shir Shol Toda b'kinaros v'nevalim v'tzil salim al kolpina al pina v'kol evin gedola shibu shalayim. Song as we're turning every corner and over every stone in Yerushalayim, the Omer. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the daf today, and here we are. It's just amazing. It's remarkable. See Yad Hashem in today's daf. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisani. We're going over the mizmorim that are sung at the new inauguration of the annexation of the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So first day of Chanukah, what do we say? The 30th parak of Tehillim. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisani v'lo simachto ayvai li. Right? Minag Ashkenaz, also Sfard as well?
Sfard, yeah.
Okay, good. Universal Minag. just in. Right? Universal Minag, that this parak of Tehillim is said every day of Chanukah, as it obviously deals with Chanukah HaMishkan. So this is the parak of Tehillim that said, in addition to that, Yishir Shal Pegan V'Yeshar Mishir Shal Negayim. Now, Yishir Shal Pega, Yishir Shal Negayim, it's actually a description of the 91st parak of Tehillim. So we all know this. We say this at the Amotzei Shabbos, and we also say it on Kriya Shema Shomita. The source for that actually is coming from today's daf. Now, man damer negam dechsiv enegol leikra ba'olech, man damer pigam dechsiv yipo mitzidcha elef. Now, various psukim will be instructive in terms of whether it's called a mizmer shal negor or mizmer shal pega, but in either event, okay, the 91st parak of Tehillim. V'omer Yosheb b'seis olyon b'tzol shalei slonon ad ki atah shemachsi alyon samta me'onecha. V'chozer v'omer, now after getting to the 91st parak of Tehillim, you then say mizmor le'David b'baruchu min me'av shalom. You then turn to the third perek of Tehillim. So it is these three prakim of Tehillim that are said, all having to do with the Chanukah, the Mishkan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing protection for us. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Kriya Shema Alamita, which is the very next part of the Gemara coming up. Okay, Rabbi Chananya ben Akash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zak Yisrael, Fi Chachir ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar.